I cannot wait to get into this word for you today. I just love the word of God, don't you? I want to say to Pastor Thornburg, Bill and Barb, it's so good to see you guys today. Welcome to Landmark. Don't you love it when the Thornburgs visit us? Brother Bill spoke to us not too long ago, and I so enjoyed that, Brother Bill. And I want to say, oh, I hope I brought my glasses. I'm sorry. We went to Bakersfield. Some of you ladies went with me. Guys, I've got a set of glasses out in the car right now. Little. Where's one of my ushers, please? There you go. The key's in here. Just pull the handle twice. Don't steal all my riches. Oh, there goes the guard. How many of you have ever heard about the Anakites? Well, I'm going to talk to you about those Anakites this morning. I'm just going to tell you, they were a mess. And every single day of our lives, we hear about those Anakites. They're still on earth, roaming the earth and driving us absolutely, I was starting to say crazy, but no. We just don't like them any more than the Israelites did, except they struck fear into the hearts of the Israelites. Those Jewish people were so afraid of them, they were so afraid they wouldn't even go into Canaan. They wouldn't go into Canaan. I hope I've got enough to still do lunch after service. Ooh, you brought me two pair. Which one do I want? Okay. Thank you, Brother Ernie. So anyway, it struck such fear into the people of God's hearts. They were the people of God. They were God's chosen. And yet, these Anakites, well, let me read to you. Let's go to Deuteronomy, lest I just get off here. Now, I'm going to read it to you out of the New King James, but I'm going to have Kathy pull it up in the NIV, because that's how I want to title it, and I think that we can grasp it a little better out of that. But if you have your Bibles, your notepad, your phone, pull up Deuteronomy chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2. Hear, O Israel, you are, listen to this, he gives them instruction. Here's what you guys are going to do. Listen, you are getting ready to go to another level. Not going to be the same season anymore. You're headed into a new horizon. So you are to cross over Jordan when? Today. And to go into dispossessed nations, greater and mightier than yourself. Cities great and fortified up to heaven. A people great and tall, the descendants of Anakim. Now, that was the giants of the land. So these were giant people. I mean, very tall. They are the descendants of Anakim, whom you know. Now, listen to this. And of whom you have heard said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? All right, Miss Kathy, you ready? All right, let's look at this. Here, O Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan, a new place, to go in, and you are going to dispossess nations greater and stronger than you, with large cities that have walls up to the sky. Sounds like New York. The people, look, don't forget this part. The people are strong and tall Anakites. Oh, you know about them, and you have heard it said, read this part with me, who can stand up against the Anakites? That's all these people had heard. It was a very common saying in their generation. Very common to hear, who can stand up against the Anakites? They're wild men. They're tall and they're strong and they're bold. And they don't care who they hurt. And they'll just step over anybody to get what they want. We know Canaan is there, and we know it's a beautiful land flowing with milk and honey, but I ain't going. Who could stand up against the Anakites? Kids say, Daddy, how come we're not going into Canaan? I thought Father Abraham said we could go. Oh, no, baby, we're not going. Haven't you heard? Oh, we've all heard that who can stand up against the Anakites? Now, you know in your family, you've got family sayings. And I don't want to get started on my family's sayings. Now, they come out of Texas and Oklahoma, and those can be pretty crazy. So, you know, but we've all got them. You know, I mean, I raised my Sarah on some of those sayings. And she went to work, got with some other folks, and she came home and said, Mom, please don't ever say that again. I said that at work. They didn't know what I was talking about. Or they just cracked up. But we've all got them. And this was one of their sayings. Just one of them. Who can stand up against the Anakites? And maybe, I just want to say, maybe, probably, could be that they used that one-liner or that common saying to make an excuse for why they hadn't gone in. Now, when God calls us into another place, another season of our lives, if we're not careful, we can use excuses like, I don't know, I don't think I got it. I don't know if I don't have the money. I don't have what it takes. I remember one time I told the Lord, God, you know what, you came down here and you built this church and we prayed the thing through, and you did everything here, and I had not a clue, but you did it. But Lord, I just don't know if I have enough to get us over this line, get us into the next phase. And he said, you didn't have what it took to get you to this phase, remember? Oh, yeah, I didn't have what it took. But you know what he does, my sister? He has what it takes to get us to the next phase. And we don't even know. Sometimes you say, how in the world did I get here? I'm going to tell you something about your experience that you have. Your experience would stand up to anybody. There is not a theologian that could cross over what you know because of experience. When a Jehovah's Witness came to my door one day, and my mother had migraine headaches, suffered with them for years. And so they came to me and they knocked on the door, and I wasn't in the mood anyway, and I never have been in the mood for them. In fact, you know what it says in the book of Peter? It says if somebody knocks on your door and they bring another gospel than what we bring, don't even invite them in. You've heard people of God who don't know the word. I'll just say it. Oh, I invite them in and minister to them. No, the Bible tells you don't do that. So they came to my door. Good day, ma'am. Hope you're having a good day. I said, well, right now we're in here praying for my mother. She has migraines. Do you believe in divine healing? No, that's past. I said, but you already came too late. He's already healed us. He's healed my mom. He's healed me. You're too late, dude. You're just too late. See, there's just things that you know by experience. You don't have to convince anybody. You just know it. All right. So he says, no, you're going to go into nations that are greater and mightier than yourself. And every time we turn the TV on, you turn the news reports, those people will try to convince us that they are mightier than us. They're stronger than us. They're smarter than us. And right now we watch God turning them upside down. The other day, I heard one of those judges talking to the Supreme Court, or an attorney talking to the Supreme Court. And I said, Lord, confuse him so bad. But you know what happened? The Supreme Court stuck together. And that one attorney, he got so confused. But I believe the saints of God were praying. Because here's the deal. He said, now look, and I believe this is not only a personal word. I believe it is a personal word for the body of Christ. Not just Landmark, but I mean the body around the world. I'm going to call you into nations that are greater, mightier. They sound bigger. They're fortified with great walls. They have walls around them and nobody can get into their little world. And who would want to? But he says, I'm going to bring those walls down and you will be a witness and you will see. Amen, church? We'll see. So all they knew, some of the people, is we cannot. Who can stand against those descendants? So that's where I want to go today. I'm going to call it, who can stand? Who can stand against you? And I'll prove that for you today. Our battles today, let me say, you may not have an Anakite, but there are spiritual Anakites against us. You see them every day. We have doubt, fear, intimidation, inferiority, unbelief. And we already prayed this morning for some of these things, anxiety. I'm not telling you if you feel any of these things that you are not saved or blood bought. Oh, no, you are, because I suffer them too. You don't have to be anything you're not. Because he loves you and he loves me and he says, no, those are just Anakites. Are we here today? Well, who can stand against this thing? Who can stand against doubt? Well, I've heard that people don't get delivered from fentanyl. Where'd you hear that at? From somebody who believes something different than what you believe. It's just an Anakite. That's what it is. But if we're not careful, we will use these things as an excuse not to go in to where God wants to take us. I have anxiety, so I can't go there with you. I'm scared, so I can't go there. I can't do this. I'm afraid to get on the highway. I'm afraid of the dark. All kinds. The devil will take advantage of whoever he can take advantage of. And then make you think there isn't a thing you can do about it. A few years ago, I had a couple come into my office, and I mean, it was many years ago, and I was new at all anyway. And I was just, I don't know what the word was. I was just flabbergasted. I was just, I couldn't believe what he said to me. And what she said to me was probably worse than what he said. He said, I just want to tell you, Pastor. He said, I love porn. I love it. And his wife said, you know what? She said, he's a nicer guy when he's online doing that than he is when he's not. I don't know. I just wanted to call you, Sheriff, and say, take them to jail. They're both fruitcakes. Now, how could you? And they were sitting here in the church, both of them. Like, what? He said, I love it. And she said, and I pretty much love it too. And I'm building this message and I'm thinking, okay, here's a huge Anakite that he is invited into his mind, into his life to destroy him. She has also, like Eve, Adam and Eve, man, they were a pair on this deal. I like it too because it settles him. Well, what's it do to you? Anything? So those were Anakites that he simply invited into his mind that short circuits that part of his brain that just has to have it. And it makes his adrenaline flow and he just gets peaceful with it. Until it's over, until he walks away. And then the shame and the guilt and the mess takes over. What have I done? It's an Anakite. You know what I heard about him? Not too long ago, I heard this from his own son. He said, Mom and Dad are split. I wanted to say, really? What do you know about that? I didn't say that to that sweet man. But he said, Dad has lost everything he has. He's broke. He's weak. He's very sickly. He's just a lonely old man. Because none of us can stand to be around him. What was that? An Anakite came to destroy. Listen, let me tell you something about that world. That world is, it has big walls. I mean, it's big walls and it's strong and it's tall. And it only comes to destroy. Now, we could name all kinds of things here today. But the guilt and the shame will pick it up from there and then carry it. People say today, you hear it often. You know what? And they say it, I want to say in innocence, but you'll hear, who can live sexually pure in a world like this? You just can't live sexually pure anymore. Because this stuff is so explicit and it's exposed. I mean, it's everywhere. Do you mind if I sound old-fashioned for a minute? Yeah, I don't either. So, look at my hair, baby. So, it's big and it's white and all that hairspray. I walked into a little Minute Mart there in Bakersfield to get a water. And standing right there by the ATM machine was a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. I mean, she had less on than they usually have on. And I'm thinking, why? Why did you put her right here by the ATM machine? So, the common saying is, how can we stay sexually pure when it's right there? Well, who is God to you? Is he stronger or what you see? You just don't go near that machine. Well, I had to. I had to get some money. No, you get out of there and you go to another place. In fact, you can find a bank. But just go find another place. Steve Hill used to say, you've got a neck and it turns the head. Well, it's just everywhere, Pastor. I know it is, but you're going to have to make a decision. Without holiness, no man will see God. Don't give these things permission to come in and mess with your head and then mess with your heart and mess with your family and tear everything up in your life. We can't go there, church. It's not worth it. These things won't allow you to go ahead. Listen, if you play with these things, you're not going to go into Canaan. It won't take you to the next level. It won't take you to the next season of your life. It's going to paralyze you, and it's going to hold you right there. And that's the whole intention of Satan's Anakites. And they're still here, and they're big, and they're strong. Now you say, I don't know. How am I going to get past it? Well, I guess that depends on whose power you lean on. Who's going to help you out? Who is it? Is it you? You think you can do it by yourself? One man told me he had started drinking and he got more and more and more. He started out just being a social drinker. He got worse and worse and worse. Pretty soon he can't even go to sleep. And then he starts drinking whiskey every night. And he told me that's the hard stuff. So he gets into whiskey every night and he can't go to bed without it. Now this is a man of God that loves God with all of his heart. And I said to him, so who are you going to lean on? God, or are you going to lean on that whiskey to go to sleep? Or your friends, or Facebook, or Instagram, or TikTok, or your spouse, or your money, or your job, or are you going to lean on God? And God can help us with all of these things, church. And I know that sounds repetitious and it sounds like water off a duck's back, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Now, he gives us a way to get through it, and I'll give that to you in a minute when I'm done talking about what I'm talking about. Some of you say, well, I wish you'd hurry up. But God still breaks chains like we were talking about in the song. Break every chain. He still does. And he hasn't gotten tired. And he will never quit, church. He will never, ever stop looking at us and helping us. Never. His arm is not too short. We're not too far away, but he still will make a way. Even when the word is, it seems, there seems to be no way, but just sometimes it doesn't just seem that way. There just is no other way. There just none. What do we do? But I'll tell you today, as the people of God, I believe you could say this with me. I don't care what the culture says. I do not care what my parents said about it. You'll never get past this. It's a family thing. It's generational. You can't care about what they say in that field. I don't care what your friend says. Your friends tell you all kinds of things. People you work with. And I don't even care what I say to myself. The Lord mentioned voices a while ago that we hear. They will try to drown out the voice of God in you. And they will just do this constantly, constantly. The voices of the Anakites will come talking at you, to you, until they get their way. And they get you to get off in a place that you know is not right. You knew it. The Bible says it. And you know it. I don't care. Sometimes you've got to stand up and talk against yourself. You have to talk to yourself. Who can stand against this ugly power? Who can stand against it? Against fear and depression and sin and addiction and anger and shame and guilt and homosexuality and all the rest. Who can stand against that? And yet they will tell you there's no deliverance for that. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There's not if you don't want it. But if you want it, he says, I have it for you. Now, you and I have heard, everyone out there in the world has heard it, America is going to hell in a handbasket. Who cares what they say? We had Sherlock Valley here the other night that proved that wrong according to the word. It was the most amazing message on Monday night. America is in Bible prophecy and judgment is coming. But God's people will be just fine. All right, I want you to go to Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31. Now, we've heard what they say. They say, who can stand? All their lives they heard, who can stand against the Anakites? Well, let me tell you what the Bible tells us in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? All the stuff that I've already told you, all the common sayings about who can stand against this, 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 and this. Verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God, read it with me, if God is for us, who can be against us? I think you all missed it. Okay, because they said, who can stand against the Anakites? But this time, you need to read it again like you're hearing it in your spirit, not like you just read it. All right, well, just say again. If God is for us, who can be against us? So we tell the Anakites, well, they may not have been able to stand against you. But if God is for me, who, what, where, who can stand against me and stand against the church and stand against what you're going to do? God will give us power to get in there. This is what we say. He said, so what are you going to say to these things? Oh, what are you going to say, woman of God, man of God? What are you going to say to all this stuff everybody tells you? Well, you're going to say, if God is for us, who can be against us? That's what I'm going to say. That's what you're going to say. All right. So now, you and I have changed. We've made a change between Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. We've changed that saying to Romans, Paul's words. We've changed it to Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? So now we've brought the change. Let me remind you, who brought the water out of the rock? Who brought the manna down? Every day, except for the seventh day. But he brought it twice on the sixth day. Who fed the thousands with the two fish and five loaves? Oh, of course he did. Who changed your life? You're not an alcoholic anymore. You're not a drug addict. You're not who you used to be. You're not that thing anymore. So what do we say, church? He did this for me. If God be for us. We've walked in all that stuff. Listen, the Bible says again in Deuteronomy. I told Sarah yesterday, I said, well, I'm going back to good old Deuteronomy tomorrow. It says to the people of Israel, Moses said, look, it's time to move on. You've walked around this mountain long enough. You've gone round and round and round and round. And if you had the floor right now, you'd say, oh, Pastor, I'm so tired of going around this bush. I've been around this thing. I've been around it and around it and around it. And about the time I think I've got it made, I'll take a couple of steps forward. And then it feels like I get pushed clear back. I don't know. Well, I know. He said it's time to quit going around that mountain again. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Okay, now hold your finger there, you don't have to hold your finger there. I guess that was a figure of speech. Just go back to Deuteronomy 9, and I'm going to read you verse 3. You can do this in New King James. Deuteronomy 9 and 3. Okay, here's what God said he's going to do about those Anakites that have been chasing us around the same mountain over and over. You've already done this before. I've been through this before, you said. Somebody says, I've been through this before, and I just hate it, Pastor. I'm tired. I'm not going to go through this much longer. No, you're not. You're just not. If you'll hear what thus saith the Lord this morning. All right, here's what God says I will do about it. Verse 3. Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes before you as a consuming fire. He's not going to leave you out. He will. Look, who will? He will destroy them and bring them down before you. Now, these next two words you are not going to like. I'm just warning you right now. So then what does it say? So. Okay, let's go back and read that last line. He will destroy them and bring them down before you. So you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. Now, do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you. So now he said, okay, I'm going to go before you and take care of this so you can cast them out. But then it goes back, and if I didn't know what Paul told us, I would think this is a funny term. So he said, I did it so you can do it. And then look in verse 4 again. Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you. Don't think it funny that he cast them out. Okay, first he says, I'm going to, then you're going to, now it's back to him. I will cast them out. Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. Now, it's not, and he repeats this again. When God repeats something, it's because it's so important. Verse 5. Now, it's not because of your righteousness and your uprightness of your heart that you go in and possess the land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, understand that the Lord your God has not given you this good land to possess because of your righteousness. Three times he said this, for you are a stiff-necked people. So he just says, look, so relieve yourself to think that you can do anything to change things. We don't have it in us. Well, I must live such a holy life. That's why he has blessed me. He said, don't go there. Don't be bragging on yourself. And he said, the reason I'm doing this is because these people are so wicked. You know the reason he's going to deal with stuff now? From Washington, D.C. all the way here. Now, we can talk about the world, but we live in America, so we'll just start here. The reason he says we can say that, yes, the church, we're all going to pray. But he says, now, remnant, those of you that belong to me, don't you all be bragging about how righteous you are and how upright you are in standing with God. Though you are, and I appreciate it, and he loves us, and there's a blessing in holiness, there's a blessing in obedience. But he said, don't get off on thinking you did it except your prayer. I'm going to deal with them because it's unrighteous and it's wicked and it's dirty and I don't like it. So, which brings me to say to you, the Anakite that's been after us, tearing you up, trying to tear you up and hold you back, trying to hold you back. There's Anakites that come to try to destroy your reputation and who you are. He said, I will deal with them. Yeah, because I love you, not because you're so righteous, but because they are so wicked. I will take them out and I will take them down. That's what the Bible just told us. Now, you won't have to go in your own strength, he said. You won't go. What did Paul tell us? Paul said, I can do how many things? I can do all things through Christ who does what? He said, you can't depend on your own strength because you don't have any. You cannot depend on your own joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He said, look. To the remnant, he said, you all stand still. Just stand still. Just be really still. And see the salvation of who? Of the Lord. It's not even yours. It isn't even your salvation. It's not your joy. It's not your strength. I can do all things. Through Christ. Who strengthens me. That's why he said, I'm going to do this so you can do it, so I can do it. So by our faith, we get up and we go after it. So I hear him saying this to me. When we say, who can stand against all the evil? We know he can. I said, excuse me while I talk about my grandson. I know I've been advised not to do that, but I just have to right here. I said to him, Parker, why are you so cute? Why are you so handsome? He said, Nana, God made me this way. So I want to ask you, how are you going to get away from that Anakite? You're going to go, God, Pastor. How are you going to get through it, Linda? Care providing like that. God, Pastor. That's how you're going to do it. Whew. Doesn't that just relieve you when he says, not because you're so holy. It's not because you're all that. Because I don't like the wickedness. And another thing, I don't like those Anakites picking on you. Even if you're in Montana or Ducor or Woodville or wherever you are, Springville. I don't like those Anakites picking on you, so I'll take them out just because they're wicked. I don't like it one bit. So here's what I heard my spirit yesterday. God saying it's time for a sifting. Separation. My mother, years ago, I don't know how they do it now because I don't use a sifter. I don't know if you do, but my mother had this when she made biscuits or gravy or whatever she made. She had this metal can and it had a little metal, screen, yes. A little screen. And my mother, I'm going to date this now, but she would turn that handle. And she would sift this flour. And I'm like, Mom, have you felt that flour? It's so soft. Why are you doing that again? She was sifting it. And God says to us, I know I've sifted you. And I know your heart is so soft. I know. But he said, right now what's happening, this Anakite you've been dealing with, this Anakite was all about the sifting. I'm separating you because you and I, as my little grandma in Texas would say, you and I are fixing to go into another place, into a new season, into a new life. So just take the sifting. Just take it. Let them say what they will. Let them do what they will. Let your friends talk. Let those voices scream at you. And you just say, oh no, it's all about sifting here. And God said he'll deal with those Anakites. Don't worry about it, church. He'll take care of it for us. And that thing you thought you wanted, you didn't really want that. You thought you wanted it, but really what you want is what God has for you. And that's a pretty big deal because God is preparing you, church. He's preparing me. He's preparing you. He's preparing us for what he prepared for us. That's two different things. You think, Pastor Thornburgs? Well, you know, I'm getting up in age. I'm just going to rest a little bit. He said, oh, you think so, Bill? You think? No, you and me and Barbara, we're getting ready to head on out. We're fixing to go on into Canaan. Oh, there's giants. He said, you'll be all right, though. Don't fret with them. So I just want to say, Father, I thank you so much for this word. Come on, stand with me this morning. Lord, sift these Anakites out of our life and bring us into our due season. Church, I hear him saying it's due time. Due time. I told the ladies at my table the other night when we went to Bakersfield, we can't just keep processing forever. You know, you process, you go through this and that, and you process again. I said, Lord, we just can't keep doing this. He said, no, you're just walking around the same mountain. So when you get over here by me, you have to know we're going somewhere else. How many's ready to go? All right. Lord, I praise you for this message. Lord, these times, Lord, we have never seen anything like this. And it was so comforting for us to see that word that says you don't like that wickedness in the world one bit. You said, and it's not all about you. I'll take care of it. Just trust me. So, Lord, we came down here a while ago and we brought some Anakites. Oh, they didn't know what was going to be preached yet, but they brought them some trouble, some issues, some stuff. The lady with the issue of blood, Jesus, she got over there to you. She got over there to you. Oh, did she have issues? She had so many issues. But her main one was her blood. Lord, I'm telling you right now, folks, this message goes, it went way beyond what I could have said about it this morning. Some other preacher may have taken it and been able to do something with it. But I believe it did for you and me what we were supposed to have. So would you just lift your hands to the Lord right now and say, Lord, guide me. Guide me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank Him. My goodness, Father, we have no idea. We really do have no idea what you have prepared for us. You're preparing us for that which you have prepared for us. Lord, and some have a hard time believing that you've prepared something so great or so big or so magnificent, but you have. Because, Lord, when your manifested presence comes, everything's a big deal. I want to tell you that in the book of Kings, it talks about a leper. Now, a leper, his disease had gone too far, and his little hands were just dust. It had eaten off his fingertips and probably part of his ear. Maybe he couldn't even see. You know, it's a horrible, horrible disease. And he got to the man of God, Elijah, and Elijah said, go down and wash in the Jordan, or he sent a servant. Go down there and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Well, this was a 4-star general. He doesn't want to go down to the muddy Jordan and dip himself because he knew that in Damascus, where he was from, he knew the waters were clean. Why would I want to go dip down there in that muddy Jordan? And he said, no, I refuse to do that. I'm not going to be made a mockery of things. And you know what the servant said? If we ask you to do that, would you do it? He said, yes. And he said, well, why don't you just try what the man of God said? And he said, all right. So he goes down there, and he dipped once, and he dipped twice. He kept dipping, and the old white sores were still all over him. He looked horrible. Kept dipping. He dipped the 6th time, no change. But when he came up the 7th time, he was totally cleansed of leprosy. I mean, totally cleansed. But what if he had just done what his friend said? What if he had just done what the Anakites told him? I'm telling you today, God can change your life in a moment. In a moment. Most of us here today, many of us, he did. I want to ask you right now, does Jesus live in your heart? And would you like to receive him? You see, I've been to that altar 12 times. We'll come 12.5 if you need to. And let him save you and let him deliver you. Let him fill you up with his own joy. Because you don't have any. But he said, it's mine. If you'd like to come this morning, I'll bet the person next to you would come with you. Father, look at these two standing here. They're just saying, Lord, I need more. I want more. I don't know what to do, Lord. There's some stuff going on inside me that I don't like. These Anakites would like to take me out. But strengthen my brother. He's called of God. Lord, your hand is upon him. Your Holy Spirit is in him and on him. And Cindy, in the name of Jesus, may you receive everything you have need of. And the Anakites go. Lord, you've been sifting, and you've been sifting this young man. Woo, take the sifting, brother. You're on your way to Canaan. On your way to Canaan. To a brand new place. To a brand new place. To a brand new walk. Come on, Jeff, you've been around that old mountain long enough. Lift up both hands. In the name of Jesus, the name above every name that is named, every Anakite that has tormented my brother, in the mind, in his heart, we command you to loose him. In the name of Jesus, you will not stand against him one more day. Father, take him from that mountain and turn him to another way, another place. Honey, you're taking it. He's already touching you. You're going there. You're letting prepare you. He's been preparing. He's been working. He's taken you. Take what these ladies are pouring into you right now. He's blessing you. He's taking you, Jesus.
For your name. Oh.
Would you lift your hands out there and give him praise? Come on, tell him no more Antichrist for me. Oh, we give you praise.
I sing praises to
your name. Da 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 da. Brother Chris, I'm thinking of a little chorus we used to do when we first founded the church. You guys probably know it. And it goes like this. I just think you ought to just give him everything today. Everything. He says, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I am, everything I've got, and everything I'm not. I'm yours, Lord. Just try me now and see. See if I can be completely yours. Give me a C, I think. I'm yours, Lord. And everything I've got, everything I am, say it. Everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. Oh, try me now and see. Tell him. I can be completely yours. Let's say it again. I'm yours, Lord. Everything I got, everything I am, and everything I'm not.
I'm yours,
Lord. Try me now and see. See if I can be complete. All right, we know it now. Let's sing it. I'm yours, Lord. Everything I've got, yeah. Everything I am, and everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. Oh, try me now and see, just see if I can be completely yours. Come on, turn and tell somebody, just give him all you've got. Just give him all you've got and then tell him that's enough. That's enough. Oh, hallelujah. Well, thank you guys for the flowers, the little blessing today. I want to bless you. We got a little tote bag back there for you. A little, that's spiritual, of course. It's got a little verse on it. Ladies, it'll be a handbag. Excuse me, not a handbag, but maybe a book bag. Okay? You might want to take it to Target if you're buying a couple of little things. Might hold it better than those plastic bags. But anyway, God bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his beautiful countenance towards you, and give you peace in your home, in your life, on your job, with your family, your finances, your emotions. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being at Landmark today.